This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 Joycast. In this Joycast, you'll hear a summary of the weekly program. Due to copyright restrictions, the music has been edited to make this Joycast possible. For more information about the music played during the show, please visit the blog at joy.org.au/The Fool and the Opera.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of The Fool and the Opera. It is that show where, well, I'm the fool and you're the opera. I don't think it actually works that way, but anyway, we're going to talk today about war because, I saw a war film on Friday, I think it was, and, it just brought up all sorts of different sort of thinking, made me think about all sorts of different things, and I thought I'd share it with you today. I think that there's some kind of anniversary or relative moment in time that, you know, I think it's the 90th, no, it's not the 90th anniversary of World War One, because it'll be 95 years since World War One, opening, of course, in 1914 when it started with, it was started by the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand. That was the catalyst for World War One, or the Great War, or the war to end all wars. And, tonight we're going to have a look at the music of war, the lighter side, the darker side, life and death, honor and horror. It's going to be a musical journey kind of episode today, and I'm going to focus on the music that, you know, so that you can kind of take a journey through the different wars that we've been through, World War One, Two, the Cold War, and rather interestingly, Star Wars as well. But don't worry if you're freaking out because you're thinking I'm going to play John Williams. No, it's not Star Wars. It's more Interstellar Wars that I'll be talking about. It'll all make sense by the end of the show, I promise. Now, we're going to be starting off with a bit of an unexpected track because that's what we do here on the show. We mix things up a little bit, and I mentioned Franz Ferdinand just before being the cause of the war when he was assassinated. Well, we're going to start with the Scottish rock band that exploded into the music scene in 2004 with the hit Take Me Out, and we'll be opening the show with a bit of Franz Ferdinand, quite appropriately. So it's their track Van Tango, which is a B-side on the Darts of Pleasure. And if you're wondering how exactly that's going to fit into The Fool and the Opera, well, it's because that the song is about the caretaker of the night, the king of the night, the man who worked the night shift at the opera. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9, and I have a confession to make. Yes, I was so scattered in my introduction because, well, I did think that this was the anniversary of the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand, but in fact, it's not. Now, the reason why I've been thinking about war is because exactly 95 years ago, 1 month and 1 day ago, England declared war on Germany, and that was their entry into World War One. So that's where this is all coming from. So hopefully I've explained myself now. Now, of course, we just played Franz Ferdinand, and I thought that's an interesting start for you because we always like to look at the different ways in which opera connects with contemporary culture. Now, we're also going to look today at how opera and propaganda fit together, which is quite a unique little thing because, when you think about the period when World War One started, most households in Britain and in Australia, just by the nature of, you know, what was cool to do in the time, they had a piano and at least someone in the family would know how to play it. So it was common practice for, you know, family and friends to gather around and plunk out a familiar tune on the piano. And so when World War One broke out, governments recognised that this was a really good way to introduce propaganda into households, or just to kickstart the propaganda machine, really, and to use it to get messages that would inspire patriotism and encourage financial support through the purchase of war bonds, and also just to recruit young men to fight. And, well, the public actually readily accepted it. And so it was because it was seen as an honour to die for your country. And, well, certainly for Australia, which was a very young nation at the time. I mean, we'd only had our federation formed a little bit more than a decade ago. So, you know, it was 1901 when we did it. So it was only about 13 years later. So we were still aching to prove our worth in the world scene, I suppose. And unlike America, which had won its independence through war, for Australia, World War One was our baptism of fire. And that's a term that gets bandied around quite a bit by many writers at the time, that, you know, that we had to go through a war in order to baptize our nation as a true nation that could stand amongst the others in the world. And so with this sort of background, I suppose that many composers and publishers readily wrote pro-war songs that would inspire fervor and make the boys kind of, you know, feel that they need to be manly and go to war. And, you know, it was a veritable cash cow. And so I'm going to play a bit of Edna Thornton now. She's an English contralto who has a unique distinction as being the first performer to have sung the entire Ring Cycle at Covent Garden. And rather appropriately for this show, she was also in the premiere of The Perfect Fool. But this is a song that was played quite a bit during World War One, and, you know, I'll have to apologise for the quality of the track, but we had to dig it out of the archives. And well, this is Your King and Country Want You. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9, and that was Dame Edna Thornton with Your King and Country Want You. Did that make you want to go to war? Did that inspire you? Does that make you want to, you know, get all manly? I don't know. It made me want to block my ears. You can give us a call if you like, or just SMS or text us just to interact with the show. onair@joy.org.au is the email, and you can also call. Moonwalking Jerry is out there, 96992949. He's also been diligently doing research for me so that, well, I was a little bit confused before, as you know, and he did give me the chronology of the First World War. And if you want to match today up with a specific event that happened in First World War, it of course would be the Battle of Marne had begun on this particular day. Now, we just heard a bit of, well, supposedly an inspiring story, a song that, you know, drew a lot of men to want to take battle and to, you know, die with honour for their country. And it was written by Paul A. Rubens, and it was actually quite a popular tune, despite my poo-pooing of it. And it actually was performed for quite almost a decade before it was retired from the repertoire of popular tunes. And the interesting thing is it's subtitled as It's a Woman's Recruiting Song. And it was popular. And the fact that actually the interesting thing is the person who became most popular for singing it was not actually a woman. Well, actually, she was a woman, but she didn't perform as a woman. Now, from the age of 6, young Vesta Tilly donned boy's clothes and performed as Pocket Sims Reeves, a parody of the then-famous opera singer Sims Reeves. And it was a very popular act, and for the rest of her life, it stuck. In fact, she's known for saying that she felt that she could express herself better when she was dressed as a boy. Now, Vesta Tilly travelled music halls around England, and during the Great War, World War One, by that period, you know, she'd taken up the name of Vesta Tilly and became incredibly popular for, you know, dressing up as a guy and getting around and singing all these tunes, and was also running a military recruitment drive and was known as Britain's best recruiting sergeant because she'd get people up on stage with her and then just get them to join the army while she was singing. And so, it was actually quite well done. So that's why she got that title. Now, we do have a special treat. I've dragged out the old cylinder phonograph and dusted it off. Well, almost. There's a little bit of dust left on it. So I'll just Okay, well, that dust is gone now. It's a gold and a very rare gold molded cylinder. It's smaller than you'd imagine. It's only about 10 centimetres in length and about half of that in diameter. And while there is no gold in it, because only the master drive would have had the been cast out of gold, this one, of course, is a cylinder made, like all other cylinders, out of hard wax, and it has a lifespan of only about 100 plays. It's from 1908, so it's a pre-war track, but it gives you a sense of what the music of the era sounded like, and also what Vesta Tilly sounded like. And I did apologise before for the scratchy record. This one's even worse, so you'll have to bear with it. It's called Following a Fellow with a Face Like Me. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9.
Following a Fellow with a Face Like Me, sung by Miss Vesta Tilly, Edison Records.
Pray, have you seen a chap named Green, a duty vulgar creature? He's met each day down Bond Street way, and he's just like me in feature. He has not got a taste one jot, and I feel wild with passion. The folk.
You're on The Fool in the Opera on Joy 94.9. Dig out those scratches. How good is that? Now, thank you very much to Stan, who has texted in. Thank you so much for this. Now, he's gone, Joy, get your facts straight. Actually, it's me, Stan. Just, I need to get my facts straight. So, this is the lowdown. I've got it wrong twice now. Thus, the fool part of The Fool and the Opera. Britain declared war on Germany 95 years, 1 month, and 2 days ago. So, 4th of August, 1914. That was for First World War. And in the Second World War, they declared war on Germany on the 3rd of September in 1939, which is where all this has come from. That's why it was in September. So that thank you so much for that, Stan. That's helped me clear that up, and I can get rid of that nagging feeling in the back of my head. If you've got any comments you'd like to make, you can also SMS in 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. And Jerry's on the front desk, 9699 2949 is the number. And well, we just played a track called Following a Fellow Like Me with a Face Like Me, as sung by Vesta Tilly, who later in her life became Lady De Frecci because her husband was knighted for all their war efforts. And I'm still not sure what people would have thought about a man married to a woman dressed as a man. And well, I mean, you know, there's certainly nothing wrong with it, but I do wonder how it was perceived in that particular period of ye olde England. Now, I don't want to lead you astray, though, and that you think that every Tom, Dick and Harry, like, really thought that war was great and glorious, because most people did actually conscientiously object, and there are plenty of stories of men receiving white feathers, a symbol in Britain and Australia, for cowardice. And interestingly, the white feather comes from this from cockfighting. Now, cock feathers, purebred game cocks do not show white feathers. The really good ones, they don't have white feathers. The ones that are inbred and aren't really good at fighting, they've got white feathers. So that's where that whole sense of, you know, having a white feather equals cowardice comes from. And, well, in America in 1915, debate was still raging over whether or not the country should participate in the Great War. And this particular track is an interesting one because it shows you what, it captures the American sentimentality of what they should do in the European war. And some of the lyrics go, I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier, I brought him up to be my pride and joy. Who dares put a musket on his shoulder to shoot some other mother's darling boy? Let nations arbitrate their future's troubles, and it's time to lay the sword and gun away. There'd be no war today if mothers would all say, I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier. Now, former president of America, Theodore Roosevelt, at the time, insisted that the country prepare for war. So he rebutted the song by replacing the lyrics with, I didn't raise my girl to be a mother, and declared that women who opposed war was better off in China or a harem, not the United States of America. So this is I Didn't Raise My Boy to Be a Soldier, sung by Helen Breen.
I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier. I brought him up to be my pride and joy. Who dares to place a musket on his shoulder to shoot some other mother's darling boy? Let nations treat their future troubles. It's time to lay the sword and gun.
You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. And that's Oh Johnny Oh. It's quite a funny little song, isn't it? You're not as handsome as I think, but when you're in that uniform, hello. Now, we are talking about war songs today, and there is a connection because it's very close to the declaration of war against Germany of World War One and World War Two. Not too far. It was only a few, you know, decades ago. Now, I thought that we actually might move into something of a little bit more of the standard operatic flavouring. And composer Alban Berg served in the Austrian army from 1915 to 1918. And during a period of leave in 1917, that's when he actually began working on his opera, Wozzeck. And it's very interesting opera. It was produced, the first one in the 20th century to have been produced that was regarded as avant-garde and employed atonality. Basically, it avoided establishing a key. And it's rather spooky and dark, and it's somewhat mysterious, especially to a newcomer like myself. So I hope that you'll enjoy it. It's something unique. And this opera, actually, the thing that is very interesting about this particular opera is, unlike most other operas when they first opened, this one was a resounding success. And people, for the 20s and 30s, Alban Berg just travelled around attending different performances and giving talks about the opera. So I think it's a dream of many artists. Now, this is an excerpt from Wozzeck. It's Act 1, Scene 3. A military parade passes by outside Marie's room, and Margaret teases Marie for flirting with the soldiers. Appropriate that we just played a track that related to handsome soldiers. So and by the end of the song, Wozzeck comes along and tells Marie of the terrible visions that he has been having as well. So have a listen and see what you think. It's a very, very interesting piece. And you're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9, and I've just had an email in, which I think is quite lovely. Teresa has said that, love your show, but hated that awful propaganda song. What a shocker. it was quite amazing, wasn't it? Now, she's also asked, can I tell her the name of the piece that I play at the beginning of the show each week? And I certainly can. Now, I'm very proud to say that it's an Australian track, and it's by a composer named Eleanor Katz-Chernin. And you can find it on the ABC Classic FM Our Favourites CD, which should be out there in your local ABC shop. The track is called Green Leaf from Wild Swans, and it's the concert suite that we play. And it's a beautiful little track. And if you were in the studio with me, you'll know that it's the track that lets me just relax and get ready for the show. Otherwise, you know, I'd be this frantic mess of nerves, which, you know, quite often I am anyway. But now I've also had another message come in, and it's from it was a call, actually. And Tristan has asked me that whether the music that I'm playing today would fit in today's music scene. And that's a very interesting question, because it's actually quite well-timed, Tristan. So thanks for calling in and asking us that, because, well, this next track is a very interesting little mix of that last opera that we just heard, Wozzeck. Renee Fleming and Fred Hirsch have actually done a piece called The Midnight Sun, which is an improvisation around his music. And it's also a jazz song as well, which is quite unique because, well, actually, Renee Fleming, even though she's known as a great opera singer, especially of romantic and baroque opera, she's actually was a jazz singer first, and she learnt from greats like Sarah Vaughan, Ella Fitzgerald, and Billie Holiday. So in this next track, you kind of get a feel for what it would be like if we took music from, you know, when was it? It was the 1917 when he wrote it, began to write it. So from there, and we've now taken it, and this was done only a few years ago, so it's a modern interpretation of the sort of music, and you can hear how it sounds, and whether or not, it's up to you to decide whether or not it fits into the current musical scene. So you're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9, and this is from the album Haunted Heart.
On my sleeve, the flame of it may dwindle to an ember, and the stars fall. forget to share.
You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9, and that is an exquisite piece of music. I'm going to send that one out to Kirsten. As you know, who used to present Bent Notes, currently on break, but yeah, she introduced me to the concept of jazz and Shiraz. So I think that, well, I hope that you have taken out your glasses and you've poured a bit of Shiraz in to enjoy that last piece of music. It was gorgeous, wasn't it? And, well, we are playing songs that relate to war, and it's quite amazing that a song like that relates to war, but it does. And there's another track that I'm about to play now, which, well, you would question it, but it does relate to war as well. Because, well, the challenge was actually set to me that could I link Inglourious Basterds, the film that's just out at the moment with Brad Pitt, of course, and opera. And, well, the answer is very simply, yes, I can. Now, of course, we have picked a track called Green Leaves of Summer. And you may be familiar with it as a rather tacky song by the Four Brothers, or as the theme to The Alamo. Or if you're Quentin Tarantino, he admits that he heard it in many kung fu films before he made the connection back to The Alamo. In fact, he's never seen The Alamo before, and I haven't either. But I can attest to actually knowing the theme song to Inglourious Basterds, so that must mean that I should have seen it in some kung fu film or another as well. Now, if you haven't seen Inglourious Basterds yet, I'd actually highly recommend you go see it. And it's funny that I get all my historical facts incorrect about World War I and World War II, because this film gets it totally wrong. But it's surprisingly good at the same time. When it gets it totally wrong, you actually kind of have a small cheer inside that goes, yay! So you'll have to go watch it if you wish to understand what cryptic words I mean. But, I'm going to go into the next track now. And, as I said, it is going to be Green Leaves of Summer. And no doubt you'll probably recognize the tune as well. It is very, very well used. And I couldn't think of a track that's actually more suitable than, for a spaghetti western set in World War II, Germany-occupied France. So I hope you do enjoy. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9.
It was so good to be young then, to be close to the earth. Now the green leaves of summer are calling me home.
You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9, and that was The Green Leaves of Summer, the theme song for Inglourious Basterds. The song has a subtitle, in fact, and the little subtitle that follows the song is actually, it is the song where they stood fighting until they could no longer stand. So I think that is rather apt for the film. It works quite well. And, of course, that was sung by the operatic choral group, the King's Singers, who are a group of lads who, you know, used to sing for choirs, and, you know, you've got your tenor, your baritone, your bass in there, and, they do all these very unique little remixes of, remakes, rather, of really well-known tracks, and I think it's quite exceptional. Now, we're going to get closer to our era now, and we're going to go to the Cold War, and I'm going to have to lay this one up properly because you may not accept it as a reasonable submission. Now, rock opera is a musical work that presents a storyline told over multiple parts, songs, or sections. So this song comes from a rock opera. In fact, it's about it's set in the 1960s in Cold War era East Germany, and it's about a young Hansel, who undergoes a sex change operation in order to escape and immigrate to America with her GI husband. When the operation is botched, we are left with Hansel, now Hedwig, with a Barbie doll crotch and an angry inch. Can you guess the show that this comes from? It is, of course, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, and is played by the incredible and spellbinding Iota. Well, actually, it was played by him in 2006 when he was in town, but I think that his performance was described as not being not only going the angry inch, but going the whole mile, which is quite an amusing little line. But, I've selected this song for two reasons. One is, of course, there's the obvious war references, but also because that Iota last year was one of the most highly anticipated guests at Hats Off. It's an annual fundraising concert that's presented by Oz Showbiz Cares and Equality Equity Fights AIDS. It's a concert which showcases some of Melbourne's best theatre, cabaret and, of course, opera. And the concert this year is actually on tonight at 8 o'clock. So you can check it out at the National Theatre in St Kilda. And there'll be, of course, some previous guests of this particular program as well. Matt Robinson and Josh Pitterman will be there. And hopefully also some future guests. Antoinette Halloran, Danielle Calder and Dimitri Shepherd will be performing tonight. So it's certainly something worth going to. There's going to be some great opera. It's a great event and it's a great cause as well. So look, if you want some more information on that, you can give us a call. 9699-2949 is the number, and I'll give you some more information. But in the meantime, John Cameron Mitchell will perform Wig in a Box. It's a very exciting little song. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. You're on Fool in the Opera on Joy 94.9, and that is, it's the song that I play when I feel down. It always picks you up. I think that's a great little track, and that's Wig in a Box from Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And, well, I said that we would play the last track would be a Star Wars kind of a track, and Interstellar Space Opera would be the one. So we're going to have to cut to the chase because, well, we're running out of time. So I'm going to play you a little excerpt of it before we say goodnight. This is The Fool. This is actually Diva Dance. You should recognize it. It's from a very, very popular little movie. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. And that, of course, was the Diva Dance from The Fifth Element. And, well, most people would probably know that that comes from the part with the soprano alien. And, of course, the track that usually precedes it is from Lucia de Lammermoor. So, well, anyway, that's all the time we've got. And I'm sure, as Jean-Paul Gaultier, who was the designer for The Fifth Element, would have said, I'll catch you next week. Same Fledermaus time, same Fledermaus channel. This has been The Fool and the Opera.
Thanks for listening to the Joycast of The Fool and the Opera from Joy 94.9. You can find more Joycasts and the program blog at joy.org.au/The Fool and the Opera. The Fool and the Opera is produced by Dan Vo and Jed Gilbert. Thanks to the support of Joy sponsors and members. Please help support it by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.